We are in week four of a five-week series called Five. And so we're asking you over this time that we're going to take 5 weeks, five chapters. We want you to read those chapters 5 minutes a day for 5 days a week. Again, this week we're in week four, and this week we are in Psalms chapter 5. Will you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 5? Psalms chapter 5, let me give you a little background that kind of leads you into what we're talking about. In Psalms chapter 5, this Psalms is credited to a guy named David. In case you don't know, David was the king of Israel. And I love David. David was a man's man. David was a strong man. David was the guy that as a kid, that he killed a lion. David is the guy who went and as a brash young teenager, as a small guy, that he's the one who picked up the stone, slung it around in the slingshot. He let it rip and it got Goliath right between the eyes. That David was a man's man, a leader's leader. David was the one that when he would go into battle, there was a group of strong warriors who would follow him into battle. That as he would go into conflict against the enemies that would attack them, that these incredible leaders who would be the boss anywhere else would follow him into battle, that he was strong and intelligent, a man's man, a leader's leader. But at the same time, he was a guy who would write poetry. He's a guy that would get on his harp and he would play the harp. Have you ever seen how hard it is to play a harp? And when he was young, he would play so skillfully that the king before him would be soothed by his skill on the harp. And then he's a guy that would write songs and the nations would sing those songs, and that it was David, the emotions that he ran through and the emotions that we see, they span the spectrum of human emotion. That David was this pretty incredible guy. And when David writes Psalms chapter 5, it's a reflection of this. It's a reflection of how a righteous man prays for deliverance, not only from his suffering, but deliverance from that would allow him to worship God and to follow God and to serve God without distraction. That King David, that when he wrote this Psalms, that most scholars believe that he is in one of the dark moments of his life, one of the dark times of his life. And so when we read what he says here, you're going to understand that. And that they say that David was worried and anxious and a bit fearful, and he prays, and it's recorded here. You see some of that in verse 2. And then most scholars believe that David, as he was writing the Psalms, was writing it in a moment where they're about to head into battle. And so it's a serious moment, and David's prayer is recorded. So what do we see here? What do we learn here? There's five types of prayer that we see that if you'll take notes, you'll follow along with me. I want you to understand what's going on here. So five types of prayer. First of all, as you're looking in your Bible, Psalms 5, I want us to read together verses 1 through 3. Will you read those verses? That verse will come up on the screen. It says this, O Lord, hear me as I pray. Pay attention to my what? To my groaning. Listen to my cry for help, O King, my God, for I pray to no one but you. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and I wait expectantly. Another version says, I bring my sacrifice to the altar and wait for fire to consume it. And what we see here, if you're taking notes today, that this prayer is I'm at the end of my rope type of prayer. That this prayer is a desperate cry for help. That this is something where he's saying, God, I have nothing else for me. Lord, this is an end of my rope type of prayer. And so I think we've been there to where we say, I better pray because I have nothing else to do. I've tried everything else, now I better pray. And David's saying, I'm at the end of my rope. I'm desperate. And here's what he's saying, Lord, hear my cry. Don't you get it, God? Here's what he's saying. God, listen. Listen to me, God. That's what he's saying. Desperate cry. Have you ever been there? In fact, this type of prayer is probably the most common type of prayer. This is the most common type of prayer where we've all been there. We have moments of turmoil or fear or worry or hurt or disappointment. And when we face that as a follower of Christ, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that at, when we face that, the normal response for us is to cry out to Jesus, to cry out to God for help. In fact, really, here's something that's not in your notes, but I want you to understand, is that for the believer, for the Christian, that prayer is designed to be as natural as breathing, that we simply say, God, I'm in a moment of need, I need your help. That is designed for us to be this natural flow of communication between us and God. But at times, here's what we need to understand, sometimes this is the only time that we pray. It's a valid prayer. We see it in the Bible multiple times. And in fact, in John chapter 9, there's a story of the blind man sitting on the side of the road. And he begins to hear this ruckus going on around him in John 9. And he's saying, what's going on? What's happening? What's happening? Jesus is coming. And culturally, he was an icon at that moment. He was popular. Crowds would follow around him. He'd perform miracles. He'd do signs and wonders. He would teach, and people would go, wow, that's incredible. So the crowds were around, and he begins to say, Jesus, Son of David! Because culturally, in that context, that if it was that the Messiah had to be tied into the gene pool, the lineage of David generations back. He's saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowds begin to say, shh, don't embarrass us. Jesus is here. Let us listen. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Would you heal my eyes? And it says that Jesus healed his eyes, but there he was crying out. What about when the disciples go on a trip in a boat with Jesus? And these were experienced fishermen, men who knew the water, who knew how to sail, who knew how, were familiar with storms. And it says that Jesus went and got into the bottom of the boat, the hull of the boat, and he took a nap. And it says that the storm came and they feared for their lives. And in that moment, they rushed to him and they said, Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to die? But they came to Jesus and cried out. And for us, maybe we need to say, Jesus, don't you see the situation with my body? Jesus, don't you see the condition of my marriage? Don't you see the provision that I need? And we begin to cry out, God, I need you. God, help me here. That I get it, you get it. We understand the cries of desperation, the prayer, the ones where we cry out that are desperate. We get it. If you have children, you understand this as well. And maybe it's that moment where you just lay down and you just dozed off to sleep and you hear the baby crying. You ever been there? And as the ones with the most kids raise their hand, Denise was like, oh, I'm still there. Oh, God, help me. But that we're there. And as a good parent, as I'm sure that you are, that we get up and we go and tend to the baby and we go and take care of the child. And sometimes maybe all they need is a pat on the back and a little rub on the back. Sometimes all they need is that the cover's been kicked off and they're a little cold. You put the cover back on. Sometimes they need for you to hold them. Maybe sometimes you need to sing a song to them. And that with my daughters that I had songs that I sang to them, some that I stole from other places or kind of, you know, church nursery rhymes or some that I made up myself. And one of them I would sing to McKinnon as this little girl who couldn't say all the words and couldn't keep tune. I would sing to her and she would say the last word of every line because she knew that one word. I'd go, I love you, Kenna. Oh, yes, I do. And she'd go, do. I love you, Kenna. And I'll be true, too. We're not with me. I'm blue, boo. Oh, Kenna, I love you. And she'd go, you. Sound asleep. Now, when Tamara sang to them, they went, wah! Boom! But sometimes as a good parent, you let them cry. I don't know if you do that as parents, and maybe you don't think that's a good parent, but sometimes you just let the baby cry. You make sure they're okay. You make sure everything's all right, but you just let them cry because sometimes they need to know that I can fall asleep without being rocked to sleep. Sometimes they need to learn that it's time to sleep when the family's sleeping. Sometimes you let them sleep, you know, it's just so that they can learn that they're not spoiled and not going to be held all the time. That sometimes you just let the baby cry, but you're going to make sure that they're okay. And the thing is, as a good parent, you're going to check on them and make sure, again, that they're okay. And so the thing is if for us, if we as parents are good parents and take care of our children when they cry, how much more do we think that our Heavenly Father will take care of us when we cry out to Him for help? Because He is an amazing parent. He is a good parent, and He hears our cries, and that He hears what we're calling out to Him. And here's the thing, is that He's going to answer. He may not answer how we want Him to answer, but He's going to answer because He's a parent that cares for us. And maybe God, when we cry out to Him, will pat us on the back with a loving embrace. Maybe we'll sense His love and His nearness so close. Maybe an email will come from a friend that encourages us just at the right time. Maybe we read a devotional, and it was just the devotional we needed, and God knew that we would need it on Thursday, and so we got it on Thursday. Maybe God, you know, He still works with the gifts of the Spirit, that He inspires someone to come and give you a word of encouragement, a word of wisdom for your life, or a word of knowledge, and He just says something, and they go, I don't know why I'm supposed to say this, but I just feel like I'm supposed to say it, and you're like, man, that's exactly what I've needed, because God still operates in the gifts. Maybe it's just that you needed the sermon that was just for you today, and it spoke deeply to your heart. But God hears us, and though He may not answer us how we want, He answers what is best for us, how we need. And so we see here end of the rope prayers that are valid prayers, but maybe there are times we need to grow past those prayers as well. The next thing we see, if we're taking notes today in Psalms 5, is we see the tell it like it is prayers. We see the prayers where we tell it like it is, where we call out to the Lord, and it goes from, and that's basically a prayer of anger there. And in Psalms 5, here's what it says. David goes from crying out to he goes to anger. And he says this in verses 4 through 6. He says, oh God, you take no pleasure in wickedness. You can't tolerate the sins of the wicked. Therefore, the proud may not stand before you in your presence. For you hate all who do evil. You will destroy those who tell lies. The Lord detests murderers and deceivers. My enemies cannot speak a truthful word. Their deepest desire is to destroy others. Their talk is foul, like the stench of an open grave. Their tongues are filled with flattery, O God. Declare them guilty. Let them be caught in their own traps, God. Drive them away because of their many sins that they have rebelled against you. He's telling it like it is. And you know what he's saying? God, go get them. God, destroy them. Doesn't that sound terrible? I mean, how many of you ever prayed that? Lord, would you go get, just show them, God, get them. And you're laughing because you know you have. And David's telling it like it is here. He's laying it out. He's telling it like it is. And so the thing is for us, I want to tell you, when you pray, feel comfortable telling it how it is. You want to know why? Because God knows the thoughts that are going through our heads. God knows the emotions that we're feeling in our heart. God created us. He knows how we work. He knows how we operate. And so when something's not going well, tell God because He knows. Be honest with Him. In fact, something that we say when we're dealing with premarital counseling and we're getting those ready for the big step of marriage is that we say, hey, communicate, talk. Communication is key. Tell what's going on. Then we make them talk even before so that they can get a feel for where the other's coming from. Communication. And when you have on your job, communicate. You have to have open communication with what's going on in your area. In fact, Wednesdays is our time for staff meeting. And this past Wednesday, we had 8 sitting around the table for staff. And most of them have full-time jobs as well or part-time jobs, but they arrange their Wednesdays to be at staff meeting and to do ministry on Wednesdays. And so we have the team around the table. And so I was saying, hey, we've got a good-sized team here. We've got lots of other things going on in life and in jobs and families. So we have to do 2 things really well. There has to be great communication and great implementation. But communication to make sure that we're on the same page. So if that works in marriage and it works on the job, then it has to work with God as well. And though our spouses may not always know what's going on in our head, God does. God does. So why when we pray, we come to Him and we act like everything is great when inside we're frustrated. And really what I want to say is be honest with God. You want to know why? One, He already knows what's going on in your head. Second of all, God is big enough to handle it. God is big enough to handle the questions that are going through your mind and your heart. God is big enough. You're saying, I don't even know if this is worth it. God knows that, and he's big enough to handle that. God's big enough to handle the questions going on. God is big enough to handle your doubt of saying, man, do I even really believe this? He's big enough to handle your doubt. And God can handle your anger. God, why did this turn out this way? You know it was supposed to go different. Why? He's big enough to handle your anger. And maybe today you're at the point where you're saying, God, don't you see my body? Why don't you just heal it? God, I don't understand why you haven't healed my body yet. Maybe you're at the point where you're saying, God, haven't you seen my marriage and the struggles in my marriage and the things I'm going? Why don't you just fix it, God? Why don't you just fix her? God, have you seen my wife? Why don't you just fix her? That's what we really say. And the wife saying, God, can you just fix my husband? And maybe you're saying, God, don't you see the need in my life financially? Why don't you just provide that job for me? And that he knows what you're thinking. So let's say it to him. You see, the beautiful thing about having a relationship with God instead of just religion, in religion, we're trying to keep all of the rules to stay right with God, to impress God. But in a relationship with God, we can be real and we get to have conversations with a God who gets it. He gets it. He understands. He's not caught by surprise when you're dealing with pride and you're dealing with anger. He gets it. He gets it. In fact, and write this reference down. It's Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Read this with me. Just follow on your sheets. Follow on the screen. It says this. For we do not have a high priest, referring to Jesus, referring to God, who is unable to empathize or sympathize with our weaknesses. But instead, we have one who has been tempted in every way. How many of you in here have ever been tempted? Come on, raise them up. You've been tempted. Jesus walked on the earth, fully God, fully man, and he understands he's tempted in every way, just as we have been tempted, yet he did not sin. Because of this, therefore, another version says, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know what? God's saying, I get it. Tell me about it. Just come to me. Bring it to me. You're dealing with bitterness? Bring it to God. You're dealing with anger? Bring it to God. You're dealing with lust? Bring it to God. Go tell God. He's big enough to deal with it. I want you to capture this. Bring it to the Lord. Be honest with him. Tell it like it is. God, this is what I'm going through. Well, are you even there? God, will you reveal yourself to me? You have doubts. Say, God, I need you to reveal yourself to me. Bam, I promise you, he's going to do something in your life because God wants the invitation to work and to live in your life. Does that make sense? Oh, God is good. You say, okay, who prayed prayers like that? David prayed prayers like that. If you read the story of Moses, and we don't have time to go into all of that, you read the stories of Moses, he is like, God, I'm leading these people out of Egypt, out of slavery, but they're your people. I didn't ask for this job. You made me do it. God, these are your people, God. Would you better take care of them because I don't even like them right now. Okay, that's a paraphrase, but that's the gist of it. Number three. The I'm in all prayers. And in Psalms chapter 5, verse 7, it says this, because of your unfailing love, I can enter in your house. Oh, I will worship at your temple, Lord, with deepest awe. Take moments to praise God. Maybe it's a moment where he's given an incredible amount of provision. You're like, wow, I didn't see this coming. Oh, thank you, God. Maybe it's a moment where you see the beauty of nature and you're like, oh, God, thank you. Wow, isn't this amazing? God, you're so amazing. Maybe that it's a moment where he meets a need relationally and he heals a relationship and you're like, oh, there's no way this could happen outside of God. For me, one of those moments was really with the birth of all my children, but specifically with my first child, it was just like, I was like, wow. Wow, thank you, God. It was just amazing, and it blew me away as I saw the amazing creation of God. And in a few weeks, my family and I, we're going to go to the river, to the mountains of Red River and the mountains of of Colorado, and we're going to see just a portion of the grandeur of the creation of God. And I'm sure in those moments, there's going to be times where we just go, wow, isn't this amazing? And I want to ask you today, church, when is the last time you were in awe of God? When is the last time that we took a moment and we're just like, wow, God, you're so amazing. When was the last moment that we felt that in our lives? That we took a step back, we realized that God is huge, we're a part of his creation, and again, we're just like, wow, to be in awe of God. What's funny is in this prayer, David's back and forth. His emotions of this prayer are really scanning the emotions of the human existence. He's like, God, what are you doing? Don't you even hear me? God, you make me so mad. Oh, God, you're so amazing. I'm going to worship in awe. I mean, he might have needed a pill, some medicine. I don't know. He might need it. Oh, you know, he's doing the right thing. He was going and praying. He's like, oh, okay, I'm getting it all out. And then this next prayer is really one that I love, and I want us to spend just a moment of time on today. But it's the fourth one is this, is am I going the right direction prayer? Am I in God's will prayer? And here's what he says, Lord, lead me in the right path. Oh Lord, are my enemies will conquer me? Make your way, your path plain for me to follow. This prayer right here, for the independent, self-made doer, this prayer is incredibly hard to pray. Because we're saying, hey, I just will do it. I'm just going to make it happen. I'm just going to grind it out. And there are times in life where you just grind it out. But this is not what they're saying here. He's saying that there's times where we need to say, you know what, God, am I in the center of your will? God, I'm stepping back. I'm slowing down. And I'm saying, God, am I exactly where you want me to be? You see, oftentimes we make decisions based on comfort or convenience or money, or we make it on emotion, or we'd make it on just lots of different ways. Lord, is this going? Am I going to make more money? Let me do it. Lord, am I going to have a change of scenery? Let me do it. When really, what we need to do is step back and say, Lord, before I take this promotion, before I take this new spot here, is this exactly where you want me to be? Lord, before I date this person, not just because they're hot, woo, man, all right, he's got some money, but Lord, before I date this person, is this the person you want me to date? Before I buy this house, God, do you want me to do this? Before I buy this car, I can afford it. I can make the monthly payment. I can put the down payment down and it'll be within my budget, which is an honorable thing in the eyes of God to live below your means. I can make the payment, but God, is this your will for me to do? God, I'm asking you to direct me. Am I going the right direction? Because sometimes the promotion seems like in the natural, the best thing to do, but it's not God's will. Sometimes the making the transition seems in the natural, the best upgrade in life, but it's not really God's thing for us to do. Am I in your exact will? Am I going the right direction? Am I going where you want me to go? Because if and when we begin to pray that, when we begin to pray that, before we take action, that we're going to save ourselves from a ton of junk that comes into our lives. A ton of stress, a ton of worry, a ton of repercussions. When we say, God, am I in the center of your will right now before I make this decision? Because when we don't make those decisions and ask those questions, we begin to make poor decisions. When we don't pray about it, there's times it leads us to sin or sometimes just apathy. That I'm just going to do this. I'm not really going to consult God. I'm not going to really consider God. It leads us to apathy, which ultimately puts us in a dangerous position with the Lord. And I'm not saying like not saved. I'm saying just like this apathy of like whatever, and we miss out on the fullness of this relationship with God. Because Psalms 37 says this, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and the Lord delights in every detail of our life. Wow. that this amazingly giant, huge God delights in the details of your life, Forrest. He delights in the details of your life, Jimmy. He delights in the details of your life, Steve. That God of creation delights in our details. So, hey, why not ask him, God, is this exactly where you want me to be? If you're taking notes today, the last type of prayer we see is this, is that I'm not afraid to ask type of prayers. I'm not afraid to ask. And it says this here, if you'll follow along in Psalms 5, verses 11 and 12. But let all of those who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name may be filled with joy. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. Don't be afraid to ask. But let's be honest just for a moment. So many times that we say, hey, I've been praying about this. James, I'm praying for you, man. And really, I'm saying I'm thinking about you. I'm praying about this. I've been praying about this job change. I've been praying about this buying this house. I've been praying about it. And what we're really saying is I've been thinking about it. And there's nothing wrong with thinking about it. God gives us a mind. He gives us deductive reasoning. He gives us logic. He gives us the ability to have some common sense and to think it through. Thinking's not wrong, but thinking is not praying either. They're two separate items. Thinking is thinking, praying is praying, and just because I'm thinking about something and I'm thinking about the decision I have to make doesn't mean I'm praying about the decision that I'm having to make. Two separate items. Actually pray. Actually ask God. Actually go before him and say, God, would you do this? Would you direct me through this? God, lead me. God, provide here. Because the whole thing of I'm praying for you is really a cultural slogan. Thoughts and prayers to the family. And really, that's super, I mean, it's sweet. It's endearing, but it's not necessarily praying. It's like, I'm thinking about the family. I'm sorry. I'm not really praying for the family during this trial, but I'm thinking about the family. Cultural slogan. I'll pray for you when we're really not praying. We're thinking. And David is saying in this moment, what we see here by the model of his prayer is David is saying, I'm not afraid to ask for God's blessing. I'm not afraid to ask for God for something specific, that I'm not simply just waiting on God, that I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to ask God. It started with him actually praying and seeking the Lord. And you see great men in the Bible that they were unafraid. Like there's times they worshiped. There's times they honored God. There's times they repented. But they also were unafraid in this relational context with God to ask him for great things because of this relationship with him. It's the same for us, that there's time for us. We need to actually start praying. And so let me ask a few questions that I don't at all mean, you know, condemnation type of manner, but when is the last time that we prayed for more than 5 minutes straight? When is the last time that we prayed for more than 10 minutes straight, that we actually sought the Lord and we began to pray and we worshiped and we praised him and we prayed and we asked and we lifted our children saying, Lord, let my children follow you their entire lives. Let them be committed to you. Lord, in my church, I pray that in my church, your will would be done and you would allow us to reach our community. And Lord, I pray that the people there would experience your presence and grow in their spiritual walk. When's the last time we sought the Lord for more than a couple of minutes at a time? Seeking God, calling out to the Lord, developing this mature prayer life. And so I want to ask you today, those who are followers of Christ, are you developing a regular prayer life so that we can grow in this relationship with God? Mature believers, I really believe that we need to pray regularly. It's a part of our day. It's a part of our life. It's a part of who we are in communication and in relationship with God daily. And maybe it's a time of desperation, of crying out. Maybe for us, it's a time where we're asking God. Maybe it's a time where we're worshiping. Maybe it's a time of anger. Maybe it's a time of telling it like it is. And maybe it's just a time of simply saying, God, I'm in awe of who you are. And when we begin to see God's nature, we're not afraid to ask him for what he wants for our lives. So we're talking about praying. So does the Bible tell us how to pray? Does it tell us not how not to pray? If you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, it gives us both how not to pray, and then it tells us how to pray. And in the Bible, we're talking about relationship over religion, and we're talking about this communication with God rather than form. And so really early on in Matthew 6, it's saying it's less about ritual and it's more about our communication, our relationship with God. It's less about the routine of it, and it's more about this open communication with God. And so he says this, and really in the beginning, he says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They stand in the synagogues, and they pray out loud for everyone else to see. And there's this example of how one of the Pharisees stands up, and he begins to pray, oh God, and he's our, maybe we would say, oh gracious heavenly Father above. And he has on his full robe. And then it says that over here is a sinner. And he's kneeling down. And he's beating his chest saying, oh God, oh God. And the one over here, in his best preacher voice, says, oh most gracious heavenly Father. Thank you that I'm not like him over there. And God says, you know what? Pretty good orator, but he has his full reward right now. But this one, who's going, oh God, I'm a sinner, forgive me, that he's the one communing with God. It goes on and it says this, and in verse 7 it says, when they pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans. The pagans would do these chants or incantations or these memorized type of things that they would just recite. And it kind of reminds me of what we do here that, you know, our coach before every basketball game, he'd give his pump-up speech and he'd turn red. He's about 5'7", and he's this retired college coach and he's like, rah, 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 and he had a big dip in his mouth and spit is spewing out everywhere. And it was really, I mean, like we had white jerseys and they'd be spotted with brown from him yelling. And then he'd go, all right, boys, hit a knee. Norman, let's hear it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And you know, everybody would go, huh, go team. Like that was our pump up before the game. I mean, it was neat that we all knew the Lord's Prayer. But it's more of a routine than it was an actual, I am seeking the Lord here. And so he says, when you do it, it's not just some babbling and it's not to show off. So how do we pray? Getting along with God, this asking direction in awe and worship and desperation and anger and telling it like it is. Here's how Jesus said that we should pray. And not necessarily quoting this per se, though it gives us a great model, because if you break it up, there's a point of worship, there's a point of repentance, there's a point of asking for God's provision and his will to be done, and then closing out again with praise. But here's what he said. And in fact, today, Grace Hill, will you stand with me? And I want us to read this together. And if you know this at all, you probably got it from the King James Version, so that's what we're going to read today. And so, will you guys read it out loud with me? You ready? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you just stay standing with me today. You see here that it's not the words per se, but saying, our Father, which art in heaven. You're saying, God, I acknowledge that you're the God of all. Hallowed be your name. Lord, I worship you. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for things you've done. Thank you for the grace that has saved me as I call out to you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you in here a little power control? You struggle with wanting to be in control? Come on, raise. Say, I'm not raising my hand. That's probably you. You're dealing with control. Saying, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth. Lord, give us a date. Lord, I pray for your provision. I pray for your provision and your direction. And forgive us of our sins as we forgive our debtors. Another verse says, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. And sometimes we've harmed others and we need to go to them and repent. Sometimes we've sinned against God and we need to repent. Sometimes we just need to forgive others. And Lord, lead us not to temptation. In other words, God, direct my life. I want you to lead me right where you want me to be. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Lord, so the things I've prayed for, thank you for hearing me, God. It closes out with praise. That it's a model for us to pray. Guys, I want to encourage you in a series of five to develop and to grow in this prayer life with God. And you say, you know what? I've never prayed for anything more than over my meal. And I feel like when I'm praying that I'm just repeating myself over and over and over. You know what? God's more concerned with your heart than the time. But also as we learn to pray, communicate with Him, there's times of listening. There's times of worshiping. There's times of saying, God, I need you right now. And that it can grow. It can grow into a relationship more than ritual or religion.